Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Dina Kimes right there, ESPN, talking about the evolution of the New England offense under Josh McDaniels and with Drake May under center. Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Nick Fitzy Stevens, who is indeed advocating for the Patriots to run the ball. I'm not sure he was fixating on Drake May as much as Mina Kimes.
They're going to run the ball.
They're absolutely going to run the ball.
Yeah.
But do you want Drake May's role on this team to be option quarterback? Is that the center of his skill set that's going to lead this team to the promised land, Ted Johnson?
No. I would like it to be, something. Give me a quarterback that rushes seven times a game and gets on average 1.5 first downs every time he rushes. Give me that profile, and that is the profile of a Patrick Mahomes, who probably rushes, 7-8 times a game, picks up a first down, maybe two throughout a game just to extend a drive or two. That's what you want. And you have to do it in how many times last year were we like, you want to be great here on this third and one that they never can get?
Yeah.
How about like a naked boot or something, where you roll out and have the quarterback run a design run, and they never, ever did it. So they were hell-bent on not rushing him last year. I don't know if this new regime all of a sudden wants to do that. In theory, he's a better runner than I ever give him credit. I mean, he outruns everybody, and he's smooth in the way he does it. So I get Mina's what she's trying to say. But my guess is the last thing they want to do is put him in harm's way by having a lot of an offense that's centered around, all of a sudden we're going to turn into the Baltimore Ravens. That's not going to happen on this team.
Fitzy, I love Drake May. I think he's a diamond. I thought he was a diamond all along. You can't break a diamond. The one way to break a diamond might be able to turn him into an option quarterback. And I'll be honest, if we're through this season, another year, and we're talking about Drake May's running ability as the strength of his game, I'm going to be worried that he's a bust, that he's going down sort of the Justin Fields road of, he can make moves with his legs, but he's not much of a passer. That I don't see that as a good sign, and I don't think it's going to happen, Fitzy.
The quickest way to potentially ruin the Patriots offense this fall or stunt the growth of Drake May, forget about him actually picking up the Josh McDaniels offense, is to run him into the face of Gregory Rousseau or other defenders in the AFC East or the AFC overall on a regular basis. Patrick Mahomes averages 4 carries per game in his NFL career. So if you want to run, Drake May on 3 to 4 designs a game, that's great. Maybe some gotta have it yardage. Josh Allen probably averages about 5 carries or so. You know, the Josh Allen, Drake May comps seem to make a lot of sense. But do I want to see him run at Lamar Jackson levels? Hell no. You've got 3 good running backs. I mean, Travion Henderson has not proven he can be a good running back at the NFL level yet. But between Ramondre, what we think we'll get from Travion Henderson, and Antonio Gibson, you've got plenty of backs that you can split the running game into, and I think they all have different skill sets. That's going to be part of the fun of seeing what Josh McDaniels does this fall, is diversifying the running game through the various skill sets of Drake and this comportment, this trio of running backs.
So I looked at Josh Allen, he averages 6 rushes a game.
Yep.
And he, let's see, 52 first downs. So that's almost 2 or 3 first downs a game. So that's kind of, and these aren't designed, Josh Allen might have 3 design rushes and the other 3 are quarterback scrambles.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for maybe 2 design runs a game. And then every now and then he feels the need to scramble, do that. But that's it. I'm not talking 7 design runs for the kid. I'm talking about maybe 1 or 2 in high leverage situations with a few scrambles mixed in, just to kind of, so the defense knows, oh crap, this guy can run. We got to maybe put a spy on him, and then that opens things up for him deep.
Absolutely. The word I was going to use before you even said that sentence was threat. The threat of the run is there, but I don't need you to keep showing it to me. You know what comes to mind is one of the first times he ran, I think it was a preseason game actually, when he did the little zone read and ran into the end zone and did the LaDainian Tomlinson finger roll because it caught the defense so off guard that he was untouched.
His first touchdown.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. And then the scrambles, which he showed last year. So they didn't want to design run him until the very end of the year, but he ran plenty for his life at times because of Adarian Lowe and some of the other guys on the offensive line. He's going to have – those are going to come – hopefully they come less often, but those are going to come organically and naturally when a guy misses a block, when the protection breaks down or the coverage is so good. I just don't see this vision that Mina Kimes sees, and I also don't think you need to see it. A lot of people were like you, Ted. They didn't know Drake May was as good a runner as he was coming out of UNC until they saw him here, and it's why a lot of people, when I brought up Josh Allen comps, they're like, yeah, but Drake May doesn't run. I was like, you haven't watched North Carolina then, because he runs. He had like 22 touchdowns or something rushing, and not Lamar Jackson running, but, you know, in the right spot, in the right situation. And then the second year there, the offensive line wasn't as good and the scheme wasn't as all that, taking opportunities as they. But, you know, in a weird way, it's more what Jerod Mayo was doing. Like, don't force the issue. The natural runs are going to come. Just have that one-off. Mm-hmm. That one time you call, you play that card. And I think that's what will work. So
real quick, just to reiterate, a lot of people compare him to Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a lot bigger, I'll be honest.
He runs people over.
Right, but they're both very good at running with the football. So Josh Allen averages 6 carries a game and averages 3 rushing first downs a game.
Perfect.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
Because, again, probably at least 2 of those first downs are scrambles. They're not design runs where you can keep the defense at bay. To me, that would be the perfect kind of sweet spot for this quarterback.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Drake May last year got a concussion and almost got a second one.
Yeah.
Would you guys give him the all clear to kind of do what he needs to do on gotta have it plays and scrambles for first downs this fall?
No. Well, I mean, scramble because that's a natural athlete protecting himself, doing what he do. But you mentioned Patrick Mahomes. I want you to be more Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes almost never takes huge hits. He gets out of bounds. He slides. He sees guys coming. Even Jalen Hurts has developed. Everybody fixates on the tush push. When Jalen Hurts runs wide, whether it's a designed read option or whether it's a scramble, you'll see him. If he sees Ted Johnson coming 3 yards away, he's sliding. He's not trying to get 3 extra yards and get a hit or anything. That's what Drake May
needs. The best quarterback in running in the open field that I've ever seen.
Russell Wilson.
Unbelievable. That's it.
He is the marquee guy.
Russell Wilson perfected runs. I would show film.
Did we just become best friends?
It's crazy. A couple things you said that I was thinking. That's a little scary. It's Russell Wilson. He knows how to get, you know when he does, you know where he starts running to? In the fourth quarter when he needs to come back. and they're not expecting it because he hasn't run the whole game.
Yep.
But watch him run in the open field, and that's how Drake May should do
the
it.
The old gotta-have-it plays, Fitzy. Don't design him early. The gotta-have-it plays, add it to the repertoire. That becomes an option, whether it's fourth quarter or in the playoffs. You know, if you get to the playoffs and you want to run, you know, if you get to the playoffs, I'll be really happy. But then you want to run Drake May a little bit more because you feel like you need to win a game. Yep. Perfect. Yep. Okay, the season's on the line.
But don't build an offense around it.
No, do not build. So Mina Kimes, we disagree yet again.
Sorry,
we disagreed last year and we disagree again. I apparently have a lot of disagreements because I just became best friends with Ted Johnson. But I may or may not have a feud going on with another member of the WEEI organization. So... last week, we talked about on Thursday that Will Fleming was promising, or Wednesday, we were promising, Will Fleming was promising a big Thursday, the off day, going to Atlanta, something big might happen. On Friday, I apparently said he didn't have a great week because nothing came to fruition on Thursday. So, Stiz, before we get to Will Fleming's response to me, let's get the audio of whatever I said on Friday that may have offended anyone.
Can we do it the I was hoping we could do it the other way because all of a sudden I'm listening to Section 10 podcast. I hear Will Fleming and I hear him say what I'm about to play and I'm like, "Wait a minute.
He got beef?"
I think so. You listen to this and let me know if you think he's got beef.
Offset ain't got nothing on me.
But Lou, you know, Craig Breslow comes to town to address all the noise around this team. Anthony is not here. By the way, radio host in Boston can right off. Like, I didn't say he was coming up. I said I thought it would be a good time for him to come up, and I still stand by that. He's not here. He might not be here this week. I think that he could really lift this team. So he doesn't come up. There's all kinds of noise around this club, Lou. Sometimes a series win like this comes at the perfect time.
So
is he talking to, that's Lou Maloney he's talking to?
He's talking to Lou. Lou's on there as well.
Wow, dude, that's...
So that's was he talking to me when he said that radio hosts can blank off?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Are you a radio host in Boston?
It's got
I know, but I work with him, so I would have thought he would just say my name. Andy Hart can blank off.
So I went back... Well, he did clap back at you on Twitter.
He
on
did.
Friday.
He came at me
he
on
did.
Friday.
He
on
yeah, because Andy said that he lost
Jumbo
the week.
Made it like a whole thing.
Wait, no. So there's a record of this. There's a public record of this. Everybody heard it except me because I don't remember what I said. So, Stiz, can you help rekindle my memory?
Yeah, so I went back and so what did Andy say about Will Fleming on Friday? And this is what
I
found.
On trial. I think you get a free Willie. I was thinking about that. Will Fleming, he needs to be freed. He needs like a week off to get away from the because I think it's bad for his health. We're at the conclusion of Mental Health Month, and I'm being dead serious here. This season has already worn on him. You listen. Go back and listen. You know how they compare presidents, how they look?
Hunter's hurt.
First year, a president looks young and nimble and ready for the job and excited. By year four, or
the
certainly year eight.
The presidential aging comparison is perfectly apt.
Will Fleming has aged mentally 12 years in 2 months.
So you're saying he's old and mentally he's got mental issues.
I actually think I was looking out for him. I'd also like to say radio hosts clearly includes Fitzy because he signed off on the exact thought. So Fitzy, you can blank off as well. We're both blanking off
going down together
separately, but not together.
I went to the booth last night to apologize to Will. So
I don't have anything to apologize for. So
no, you did not. Did you?
He was, no. I went to the booth to say hello. He wasn't there.
I'll say, bro.
I'm not Ted. Last thing I'm going to do is walk back a take where I actually have a coworker's best interest at heart because, like Andy points out, listen to how seriously, like how to heart, if you will, Will takes this stuff. Like this is like life and death to him. If this team loses another one-run game before the 4th of July, Will may have an aneurysm.
Man, I thought his response was a little bit harsh.
Yeah, a little bit. So
strong.
Maybe I have these are big in the media now, these beefs. And, you know, we got Bill Simmons and Pablo Torre. We have RG3 and your boy Ryan Clark.
Yeah.
We have Rich Keefe and I don't know what week is it. It's a different guy every week.
Glenn Schmordway and Ted Johnson.
Yeah, Ted Johnson and Glenn Schmordway, apparently, we're going with there. So I don't know. I think he might be talking about me, might be talking about us. I don't know. I will say, though, no one listens to Will Fleming more consistently than me.
And me.
Well, and you. But I can tell you, I've listened to the first hour of virtually every broadcast because I'm driving home, and no one cares about this baseball team and its success more than Will Fleming. And he is disappointed.
Yep.
He is upset when they don't do well.
I think he took it the wrong way. I think he came at you strong, but I think he just doesn't know Andy, like, we know Andy.
Yeah, like.
So here's the proposal, right? Will Fleming.
We fight.
WEEI Afternoons.
That'd be quite a fight. He's like 6'8".
He's a big dude.
And I'm
big
like,
dude.
He's like, he was
but
like,
he's, but as you said, he's aged a lot. So
yeah. He's plus, if I get him to the ground, ground and pound, I feel like I like my chances. I love Will. And unfortunate. Yeah, he does have me on the reach. If he's jabbing from afar, I'll be like, oh, I can't get close enough.
Why doesn't he come to, listen, if Lou's going to swing on by at 4:30 and pop into the studio, Will Fleming's always welcome to knock on that door.
I think Lou could be my intermediary. I can find out since Lou was in it.
Hey, Lou, what's Will think of me?
Does Will really want to fight?
Hey, tell him
me and
we can meet after school behind the
behind the monster.
Yeah.
Out here on Lansdowne Street on my way to my car. No, I love Will, but it did. It caught. I didn't know anything about it till Dan Ball told me about it today. They got the audio, and like you, Ted, I was a little taken aback. I was like, oh. Do I have a beef?
Bro.
One of those beefs that sneaks up on you. Like, you don't know you got a beef with somebody until the beef happens.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe get his number, text him. Hey, bro, this is
we Andy, cool?
The radio guy.
New phone. Who did? Yeah. I'm the radio host in Boston who you told to F up.
Which was kind of, come on. Like, come on. You know his name.
Also, at me, bro. Right? Like, you added me on Twitter. You actually added me.
I do.
Me.
I add you.
Right. Like, I mean, if you're going to, and also I feel like there's this weird implication there. If I'm a listener of that podcast, I'm not. But if I were, that, you know, is he talking about Felger? Is he talking about Michael Hawley or somebody? Like, is he talking about somebody different?
Plausible deniability.
Like,
Could be anybody.
Like, we talk about Rich Keefe. We talk about Greg Hill and Wiggy. They're all part of the family. We all work in the same building to sort of...
He leaned into that F word. It was like a...
Although I've been told they do that on that podcast.
By the way, radio hosts in Boston can right off.
Like, can go right off. Like, it was a...
It was some venom there. I feel kind of
but
proud.
But he didn't
this
say
my first
certain.
Time.
He just said radio hosts in general. So he could be be the morning
all
show.
Of us.
See, this would
he
bum
was talking
me out.
To you, too.
Well, you don't seem to be. Oh, this. Oh, okay.
It's all radio hosts in Boston can F
W-B-U-R.
Off.
WBUR. He could be talking about, Mix.
That's true.
Will's not. He's not taking on the whole Boston radio community, is he?
He sounded worked up.
Okay, brother.
He might have had some beer muscles, some podcast muscles, whatever there. He was in a good mood. So, Dan, you heard this live.
I did.
What was your initial reaction?
I cannot wait to tell Andy Hart when I get to work tomorrow.
No,
because I heard that and I remembered the Twitter exchange that had come out of your who won the week, which
we didn't even have a Twitter exchange. Yeah. He added me and I just liked his tweet because I didn't know it was a real beef.
Oh, you didn't
should have sent him a panda.
There you go.
Oh, I could have sent him a panda. That's what I send the trolls. No, but
what's the panda?
I don't know. Okay. I like pandas. They know, and they don't know how to take it if I send them a panda.
I like that.
They keep them off guard a little bit.
But the like keeps them off guard, too, a little
bit.
Yeah. People come at you with stuff, and you like it.
If we're being honest here, like not doing like, hey, let's have a beef for radio, be good for ratings, we're fighting, like, I kind of feel bad because I do think he feels bad about the team. And now I don't if he's worked up. I mean, I don't want you to be worked up. I don't care what you think about me, Will.
If I run into him on the street, I would tell Will, Andy didn't mean any. Like the way you took it is not how he meant it.
Because I enjoy listening to him. But now I'm going to listen to him in a different way.
I'm going to be
critical. Now I'm going to be all over him because he's giving me reason because we're in a beef, I think. And that's how you do these things, right? Stiz, you're the expert on these things. I need to do something like offset and digs.
We got a guy that come in and give you some answers, man.
Well, you got Lou. Okay. Yeah, we got Lou coming up in about 15 right minutes. You better hope he can kind of squash this beef for you.
We're trending early. When we come back, Lou Merlone will let me know, does Will Fleming hate me? Why did he tell me to F the blank off? What is going on in my relationship with Will Fleming? Up next with Lou Merlone here on WEEI Afternoons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
The way it happened, everything went down. It sucks. This thing ain't freaking lasting.
I think I know more now.
I'll punch both of you in the face.
Yeah, it's just a completely different. There's no more hope.
When did I opt? I never opt.
Welcome back to Fenway Park. We're about to have the first WEEI Afternoons WEEI Celebrity Death Match.
Oh, man.
Just an FYI, Will
like
Cumming.
It.
There's Ted Johnson is my tag team partner.
That's security.
Yep. That's my guy in the corner.
With four guys who just throw two weapons in the middle and go for it.
Yep, go for it.
So, I just open the door. That's my first time meeting Ted in person. You give him a hug. People his age are not supposed to feel like that.
Yeah, no. So just remember, he's in my corner. We're teammates right here. You've got Lou. You can have Lou, so you guys can be teammates.
I don't think we're doing too well in this one.
Nope, I like my chances, but... yeah, so we've all, leading into this, yeah. we've kind of had cooler heads prevailed. You did not F-bomb me or take a swing at me.
No.
In fact, we shook hands, and I think we have an
understanding. So what's going on with the feud?
By the way, radio hosts in Boston can right off.
Oh.
Who told me to F off?
I was there
I
for that catch
you.
Up.
I did not.
Wait, was that
wait,
not
I'm
to him?
I'm a radio host in Boston.
Okay, right. But I mean, I wasn't, in that instance, I'm not talking about you.
Okay.
I've learned to just leave the whole thing alone. But
well, you did at me on Twitter, though, and
that's what threw you off.
Because that was for fun, right?
Okay,
that was soft.
But the at was followed by an F off, and I was like, Dan Ball's telling me, I think you're in a feud.
Oh.
You're like RG3 and Ryan Clark. Now
you
we're talking
Fleming
about wives.
Pissed off at you. Oh, man.
We start talking about each other's wives and kids, and all of a sudden it's personal.
I'm just going to start doing balls and strikes, okay? This Anthony thing is crazy, isn't it, guys?
Cause, yes.
I mean, and I think what part of this is that Lou and I sat together after the sweep in Milwaukee, and both of us looked at each other and said, what are we doing? Like, it's time to do this. You got an off day, it's time. And I'll stand by that till the cows come home. And by the way, it's going to happen in the next week or so. And by the way, other changes that are dramatic are going to happen.
Ooh, what do you got?
Are you promising something again?
What's he doing?
Why does he keep doing
it? And then when he doesn't, and when it doesn't come to fruition, and I criticize
and it's all
him,
my fault.
He F-bombs me.
There might be a, there might be a little delay, but I Lou can corroborate this. Things are going to change here. They are. Might be 5, 7, 10 days behind schedule, but I think things are happening on a number of levels, and I think the way they play dictates how quickly those things happen, both good and bad.
Okay, because we've been teased a lot of things. The manager has lied to us a couple times. He tells us Crochet's going miss complete game seven. Then he tells us.
So now we got off days. I heard him today. You got off days. I think you're good there.
You right?
He Belichicked me. That is.
I think you're good.
Coaching
there.
White lie. So Lou.
Yes.
Big changes. I got one guy on my left telling me big changes are coming.
Ooh.
And when I read reports out of San Diego, they're interested in Jaren Duran. Would trading Jaren Duran qualify as a big change? And do you think that could happen?
Do you guys know what agita is? Like an Italian thing, like heartburn?
Okay.
I get that. Just
I don't think
thinking,
that's just Italian.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, like just thinking about trading Jaren Duran. Like everybody's like, you got to move on. You got to make room for Roman Anthony.
Yes.
If you move Jaren Duran, listen, this is my thing, okay? In the beginning of camp, like how many of these young kids going to make the roster out of spring training? I said hopefully none, okay, because they're young, and I want to get some guys that have been in this league for a while, and you want to compete for a division. You want to make the postseason. You've already got three rookies up here. You're going to have a fourth here soon, and it's going to be really hard to win every single day with full rookies in your lineup. And if you move on from Jaren Duran, he's the one player on this roster that is sort of maturing and starting to get to the point where he is in his prime. He is an electric player, and to move on from that and to just get younger irritates me. You are not going to get any help for the big leagues if you move him to San Diego. You are going to get a double-A arm. You're going to get a single-A shortstop.
They got a catcher, I saw.
Great, you can get a catcher. That is fantastic. You got Narvaez here right now. I am starting to be in the business of helping your big league team, not moving on to some of your electric players. It's Duran and Devers on top of the order, and everybody else right now is just rotating through who's hot, who's not. Those two are your constants. You cannot move on from Jaren Duran, because if you do, I don't know what you are. I don't know what you are for the next 3 years.
Do you want to follow up on that, Will, or do you? I got it. Somewhere
you have more anger.
I am curious though. Do you think people might be going out there, because it feels like the profile of this team when the season started was one thing, and it was a veteran team with some young guys sprinkled in. Mm. Now it feels like it's the profile of this team is very different now with the key injuries that they've had to Bregman and Casas. Now it feels like a young team, and now, okay, that's where this stuff, I think, Jaren Duran, hey, trade him, get younger, and it just feels like the season has flipped on what the profile of it
is. The reality is, and I said this before Bregman went down, I had a little walk, it was always a young team sprinkled in with a couple of veterans.
Gotcha.
I mean, you literally had a rookie at catcher, a rookie at second, a second-year player at first base. You had Story and Bregman. You had an outfield of Duran starting to come into it with Rafael and Abreu. You know, you had set up guys like Slayton, who was a Rule 5 year plus, Weissert, Whitlock. Like, you had youth all over the place. And I said it before Bregman went down. And when Bregman went down, you bring up Meyer, this league... You know, the last time this Red Sox team introduced four or five young prospects, it was 14, and they finished in last place 2 years in a row. Until they went out and started trading for some veterans and signing some veterans, and then you started making the playoffs and eventually won a World Series in 18, when Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley and E-Rod and Vasquez were on year 4 and 5. Like, it takes a while to win in this league. Duran is on that path. Year 4, basically, now. Like, let that continue. They got real young. They've always really been young.
Angry Lou Merlone and Angry Will Fleming joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. So, I said to Ted last week, I do think we underestimated how young this team was going to be.
I did.
We kind of got caught up in the emotion of they're going to be good. Is there an opportunity here? Ted totally poo-pooed this, but I'll ask both of you. Is there an opportunity here? Because you look at the veterans and you're like, well, Story was struggling for so long, tough to lead. When you're Ref Snyder, are you really a leader? Devers, I don't know if he's a natural leader. Is there an opportunity for these guys, hell, the big three, when Roman Anthony gets here, to kind of pull all the young players together and say, F it, we don't know what we don't know. We can lead this team out of this malaise that's been early season. And Will Fleming's eyes just exploded and tell me the answer. But go ahead, speak it.
No, the answer to that is no. Like, you just are around enough big league clubhouses, and young guys just cannot carry a team like that. Could it be fun and exciting in a different way? Yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of the struggles of this team this year go back to youth. Look, this is a industry-wide problem. Nobody in the minor leagues learns how to win games. We are tracking exit velocity and launch angle and all of these things so that you get kids up here to manipulate manipulate's the wrong word, but you want controllable young assets while they're cheap,
right,
and you go to try to open this window and win while they're here on, you know, lesser contracts or team-friendly extensions, whatever it is. Nobody learns how to play the game down there. Nobody. They don't move runners over. They don't have situational hitting. And I think the most important thing is we don't push pitchers past their comfort level in the minor leagues because we're so worried about injury. I just think what we're missing from this conversation is that the young hitters on this club are not the problem. I mean, yeah, the offense has been disappointing at times. The pitching is the problem. And when all of us came out of spring training thinking this was going to be a good year, it's because you had some veteran pitchers you felt really good about. Now, Buehler gets hurt. That's part of it. But Houck was not good at all. He's now hurt. Bayo has regressed in a major way. And so, you know, Bayo is a guy like Lou's talking about with Duran, like third, fourth full year. That's what you felt like you could lean on all 5 days in the rotation. Without that, then everything is so much more sort of exaggerated.
Let me ask you guys, because I listen to you guys all the time, in the pitching, you mentioned the pitching, you know, Will, is, and Lou, I hear you talk about this all the time. It's like, you know, why not a fastball there? You know, in the Red Sox, we looked at, I mean, they're I think dead last in throwing fastball.
21%.
How about that research from Dan Ball?
Yeah. He's the best.
It out.
He's the best. And I can tell it frustrates you guys because there's a predictability in that. It's just like when we scout the opponent football. So if you know a breaking ball's coming, obviously it's easier to hit. Just your thoughts on the game plan when it comes to pitching and why not more fastballs?
Well, there was a fastball thrown to Trout last night that I like to have back.
It's over there somewhere.
All right. No, I agree, and I think, you know, we're both on the same page. And I heard Cora this morning saying, do we have good ones, right? Because Crochet uses his. Yeah. Chapman obviously uses his. But, you know, you talk about getting deep in the game. I've never known what you would call a horse, right? A guy that goes deep, a guy that's 200 innings, the guy you can rely on, that tries to slide and curve and change up his way to seven innings. I've never come across that guy. Like, every horse that I know, fastball outer half, fastball strike one, fastball strike two. Hey, let's get this at-bat over with. You know, sinker down and in, ground ball, you know, attacks with the fastball. But to ask a guy to go seven innings trying to throw sliders and changeups and curveballs, I think is just too hard. I don't think you throw enough strikes with them. And because of it, you're getting 4 2/3. The pitch counts are going up, five innings. I'd like to see some of these guys. I swear to God, that Schwellenbach start down in Atlanta, I had a tear in my eye for their other pitcher. For their pitcher.
I think I heard, like, you guys say in the first inning he was locked in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I would give up everybody in our organization just to watch him every day.
It's so true.
That's probably not true.
Well, that's
but
not
still,
true.
But it was
Paul
fun.
Paul Skeens, maybe. But I think what's interesting about it is that last year, like right around June, it started to happen where we would be on the road and it would be first pitch, hanging slider, gone. In a way that major league hitters, I mean, if you throw a terrible breaking ball, it's going to go a long way. But that was our first sort of like red flag moment of like, wait a minute. Like, it is obvious. And then you start talking to people around the game and they say, the book is out on these guys. Like, we are sitting and looking for spin. What's different about it this year is it's a lot of 0-2s. Like, you get 0-2, and then it's a breaking ball that's non-competitive. It's another breaking ball that's not competitive. It's a foul ball and a fastball, and then here comes the hanging slider that goes forever. And so, look, I don't want to act like I'm some pitching expert and guru. I'm not. But you watch the patterns of these pitchers and some of the sequences that have killed this team this year, and a lot of times you're just thinking through the game and sort of, for lack of a better word, I'm not trying to be too angry, like an interesting pitch choice results in a really bad result.
So Lou Maloney wants to throw fastballs, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks and everybody I hear wants to throw fastballs, and they're not throwing fastballs, so that brings us to what I feel like is the overwhelming theme of this team when we're analyzing it is like, how's the communication in this team between Breslow and Cora and Andrew Bailey and that relationship and Veritek? We asked Cora about earlier. He brings him into sort of the game planning and the pitch sequences.
Are they all on the same page?
Are they on the same page? Who's making – is this just straight Andrew Bailey and Breslow?
Yeah,
how do you change it?
I don't know about that stuff. I knew that they focus on what's your best pitch, you know. And I heard Breslow even the other day, like, you know, we want our guys to go out there, and Bailey said the same thing, you know, to throw their best pitch more often.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I know that, and you know that, then as a hitter, I'm going to be like, you know, and a lot of times guys do go to their best pitch. And sometimes you can look for their best pitch, and they're going to get you because it's that good, you know. But I feel like we've, You know, and listen, I'm not wanting everybody to go out here and throw fastballs all day. Like, Bayo's got a good one. He should be able to use it because some guys can't, you know, and I understand it. They don't have that swing and miss fastball. You would just, you know, sometimes I see 0-2 fastballs down the middle taken for strike three on opposing teams. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, there you go.
Right.
But don't you know, because they're looking for something else. You can tell by the reaction of a hitter what they're doing. They're sitting soft because in general, I would say the book is out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And it has
been. Well, it's been out since last May, yeah. If you run some of the numbers.
I think another part of this, too, is that in the modern game, and certainly in this organization, it's about like creating new breaking balls, right, that you're trying for the first time. I mean, how many of these Red Sox pitchers come in with like a sweeper they found in the bullpen two weeks ago? And like, if you're facing Ronald Acuna with a pitch you've thrown 20 times in your professional life, I just think all these things are sort of related.
I'm curious, what is there anything that surprised you this year? I mean, is some of the play of Narvaez or anybody? Yeah, is there anything that's jumped, you know, in a positive way that's been a surprise or?
Well, Narvaez.
Some positives here.
Narvaez.
Yeah, well, you know, but us guys, it's always negative. Let's talk.
No, Narvaez. I mean, he's been unbelievable, not just behind the plate, but for a rookie to come in and take over a staff and to do what he's doing defensively. And for like the first month, he was hitting 200. Cora kept saying there's more there offensively. Yeah. And May, he went absolutely nuts. Now, I don't expect him to hit 350 every month, you know, but I think he's a good player.
He's a better defender than people thought, right?
Yeah, he's fantastic. I think he came up knowing that he was going to be a good defender. But I just feel like what you've seen, just the overall picture of a rookie coming in and controlling 13 guys on a staff has been impressive. The other one is just the best version of Devers I've ever seen in my life. You know, just like, I always wonder if you could take an aggression away from an aggressive hitter, a bad ball hitter, and boy, if he could just be a little more patient early in counts and get in the hitter's counts, what could he be? And that's what we're seeing. You know, he's taking pitches, he's drawing walks. It's the best version I think we've ever seen of him.
I agree with that. I think I was not ready for how good Chapman was going to be. Like, they've made major changes with him. This 98-99, then a warm-up to 101, he has, to me, been absolutely fabulous. I can't believe what a great closer he's been. And then I was surprised. I mean, we watched Bregman from afar, but what this dude does to this room and to this group is off the charts. And so in a lot of ways, like, that's the whole point of the next, what is it, 5 weeks? Survive until he comes back. It sort of coincides with a trade deadline. Try to stay in it because they are not nearly the same team when he's not in there. He just impacts every corner of the whole thing.
So I know you guys are P1 listeners and you follow. I know you follow on Twitter because you're at me when you want to yell at me.
Oh,
so we put out a poll most days on at WEEIF.
What do we got today?
Today I went with, do you believe the Red Sox can turn things around enough at least to play meaningful baseball beyond July? You want to know what the results are right now?
I can guess.
Yeah.
64% no. 36% yes.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
You're the guy who knows more. You just told me in your little open here that you know more. You know more things. Is this team going to be playing meaningful baseball in August, or are we going to be turning our attention to the Patriots in training camp?
I think to Will's point, you got about a month right now. You got to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that trades aren't possible right now, but dealing from a position of depth, you know, I think you got to try to get some help. I think you need a bullpen arm to make sure you try to hold on to some of these games. And then when Slayton comes back, you're absolutely loaded. But I think the next month is going to be extremely difficult because you're asking young players to figure it out really, really quickly. You know, and Marcelo Meyer is going just – it's just like all the kids that we saw before. You know, you hope that these guys in 4 or 5 years turn into all-stars and MVPs. And you know, I still think they're going to be. They're extremely talented. But you don't see 99 with a split like in Worcester too often. You know what I mean? So I think there's a big adjustment period for guys coming up. And I think this next month, you're going to need some big performances from some guys. And that's why I keep talking about Trevor Story. Like, and he saw it the other day in Atlanta. Like, to me, he's got to get hot. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to get hot. And whether you think he can or can't, whatever. And if you can survive it and get Bregman back here, meaningful. Yeah. I mean, are they going to do damage in the playoffs? I feel like they're very young. I'll enjoy watching them play. I think they're young.
Well, you're the eternal optimist. Well, you were the eternal optimist before the season started. As of Friday, you were F-bombing me and cranky and angry and yelling at the world. So optimism still in there somewhere?
There is. Now, I just do want to clarify this. Like, over the last, 3 years, I've developed this alter ego on that podcast.
Here's another homer.
tremendous last night. Maybe your best inning ever. Mike Trout hasn't been good. Oh, he is now, or whatever you said. Like the reaction.
One homer in 34
that
games.
Was your home run call.
Oh, there's another. Me? Yep.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
By the way, that ball was, I mean, that was awesome to watch, right? If you're 10 games over, it's like, oh my God, right. Mike Trout's homered at Fenway this
week. Not if you're Richard Fitz.
No, not.
Well, you
so
saw
much.
History. This place has been around a long time, and you saw history. Never been a first inning like that. Better or worse.
I'm optimistic, big picture, in terms of the young guys growing and doing all this stuff, but I can't lie, and I try never to lie on the air in the games. Right now, this thing feels like it could go in two totally different directions. It really does. You watch the games. Our fans don't want BS. I can't say I feel really confident they're about to win 15 to 20. Every night they prove to you that they just are not doing that right now. And with the pitching injuries and all this stuff, we'll see. Watching Crochet every fifth day is awesome. Maybe we get Anthony and there's a little fun and a little juice there. But until they consistently win these one-run games, it's hard to think that there's going to be some big correction.
And before we let you go, just so there's no confusion, let's get a real clean, tight prediction of what you're promising me the next week or two. Roman Anthony will be here. Correct?
I think so. I do.
And what else is happening? That
but you're not guaranteeing
big
it.
Big things are
I'm
happening.
Not guaranteeing it.
Not guaranteeing it.
Second one, I can't say.
But there's big things coming.
Okay. I think Roman has to. It's just a matter of time now. And like, that's the whole optimism part. It'll be fun. I enjoy watching Campbell even go through struggles.
Yep.
To see how he kind of changes and adapts. Same thing with Marcelo. Same thing with Roman and Narvaez. Like, I enjoy seeing if Bayo can figure it out here tonight. So I enjoy all of that. But if you're going to really stay in this thing, you're going to need some kids to figure it out. You're going to need guys like Story and Abreu to kind of pick it up. Yep. And you're going to need everybody as a group.
And Lou, real quick, that juices you guys. When a Roman Anthony comes up, young kid, it's like, okay, let's see what it can give a little bit of life to the whole
ball. Same thing with Marcelo. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think there is some life, but then reality kind of sets in. This league is really hard, right? So now it's like, let's watch the journey and let's see these guys. Because, you know, Xander Bogaerts came up. He wasn't himself right away. And all these other guys. So let's see where it goes.
You know what juices me? Ted's six bracelets, his camouflage flip-flops. I mean, that is some major action over there.
I love it. I never met Will. We go in with a hug and hugged it up. It was awesome, man. I looked up.
You were my human peace treaty. He saw you and he just melted. He's like, nope. The feud is out the window. If he's on his side, we're done here. No more F-bombs. I apologize.
I will say, you know, what's crazy is, like, I hear those highlights back, and I heard the people were making fun of me for the oink, oink with Crochet the other day. Like, Lou's been with me a lot of times. I cannot hide my emotions.
And you shouldn't.
On the air. I can't.
So you two, in my opinion, are the most passionate.
Oink!
Passionate. That's the example.
I missed that.
You two are the most passionate voices around the Red Sox right now, and people appreciate that, good or bad. They'll also appreciate if they turn this things around and you guys are, you know, enjoying it and celebrating in the booth when Roman Anthony hits a 454-foot home run here at Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. So
I promise you we will.
I hope. I'm looking forward to the other thing that you won't tell
me. I know you are.
It's always what they don't tell you that's the real good thing. Lou Maloney, Will Fleming, thanks for joining us
here
on the WEEI Afternoons. Good game tonight. Hopefully, maybe, could be. We'll see.
F you.
See ya.
By the way, radio hosts in Boston can right off.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Part of this is that Lou and I sat together after the sweep in Milwaukee, and both of us looked at each other and said, what are we doing? Like, it's time to do this. You had an off day, it's time. And I'll stand by that till the cows come home. And by the way, it's gonna happen in the next week or so. And by the way, other changes that are dramatic are gonna happen.
Ooh, what do you got? Will Fleming
dropping
promising
bombs.
Big things.
Yeah.
Which, given his track record, means, well, I don't know what it means, but
hey, give him this though. You say his name, he shows up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
He's a man.
You got to give the post-interview reaction. Where are you right now on this?
I feel great about it.
All right.
Will and I, we hugged it out. We shook hands.
I saw this big body coming in hard. Like, I was like, ooh, ooh. Oh, someone's coming in to maybe fight. Fisticuffs.
And then he saw you and he changed his whole tune.
Hugs and high
five. Ted's my guy. I got Ted behind me. Now I know how some of your defensive backs felt. Like, Ted's in front of me. I'm okay.
We appreciate him coming in, though, clearing the
awesome.
Air.
Now, but
let's
take
straight.
It to the next step, though. I like that audio teasing, because we're talking about Fitzy, that this is a team that needs a jolt.
A jolt.
Roman Anthony could be the jolt, but it sounds like Will Fleming might be hearing rumblings or more of a jolt. Fitzy, did that get you excited about the Red Sox over the next couple weeks?
I heard rumblings of the middle of next week for Roman Anthony coming up, possibly ready. Even maybe the Tampa series is what I heard around buzzing around the ballpark last night. And if anything, listening to those guys over the last 20 minutes, I think what it does is it changes my entire perspective on the way that I need to watch, consume, and consider this season. This isn't the, hey, Alex Bregman's here, so you add him to Rafi Devers, the other veterans, and the surge of youth, and we can be a playoff or World Series competitor. It's, no, we're still actually younger than you thought we were, so now we have to really commit to the full-blown youth movement. And when Lou says they got a month till they have to start considering making deals, I think it's maybe a month tops, because you're 4 games back now. You're 8-9 games back by June 30th. I won't say it's blow it up time, but it's definitely it's turn it around time.
And Will Fleming, I think he put the month out there kind of. He actually said 5 weeks. He was thinking Alex Bregman. That's when the timeline is for him to maybe come back. So if you can hold on until Alex comes back, because clearly he impacts your lineup, that would be something that is ideal in this situation.
And I know Lou doesn't want to hear this. He made this quite clear, but you're already reading and seeing reporting and rumblings of, oh, the Padres have interest in Jaron Duran, or Jeff Passan had a story today where people are going to be keeping an eye on Giolito and Chapman. I think Chapman is the guy. Like, I had doubts about Chapman coming into the season. If they were
most people did.
And now I look at him and say, if I'm a contender and I need an arm, either a closer or an elite setup guy, he has been unbelievably
good. Yeah, but he's been your best closer. You can't send out your best closer if you're serious about this.
And that's the thing, though. But other teams are already looking and sort of sniffing around just in case maybe you can't pull out of this little malaise you've been in and you are a seller by the deadline. But I am – I'm intrigued by Roman Anthony because I do think that will add a jolt. And unlike you guys are all negative in that one area. You all disagree with me. The ex-athlete Lou Maloney, the ex-athlete Ted Johnson.
You're way off on that.
Basketball player-sized Will Fleming telling me that young guys, I think sometimes young guys, especially a special group of young guys that have been together, have a certain relationship, they can do special things. Tom Brady taught you a lesson, Ted Johnson, that you apparently didn't learn.
Very different. And I think they didn't. I think they rolled their eyes. If they had emojis that popped
over
their head.
I think they did both actually roll their eyes.
Rolling of their eyes.
I felt very disrespected.
And I will say this too. I think it's even more different in a baseball locker room than it is in a football locker room. I just think young guys in baseball, nobody wants to hear young guys lead the charge in baseball. I think it's just a whole different dynamic altogether. So no disrespect that, but I mean, everybody in this room, except for you, can't quite see the truth there.
And you know what I always say, Fitzy, genius walks how?
Alone.
Oh, yeah. Alone. And I will be the lone member of this genius club for a while till you all jump on board. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to hear from the manager, Alex Cora. You're going to hear about first base, Raffy Devers, and you're also going to hear about his opinion on whether the team should throw more fastballs. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.